If you want to fulfill your potential or help other people fulfill their potential so you can feel great and get the rewards and respect you deserve, then I want to give you a free physical copy of my new best-selling book, because you deserve to know the truth. The most important things for fulfilling your potential are not tips, tricks, hacks, therapy, coaching, meditation, breathwork, goal setting, journaling, or finding your why. I know it sounds irrational because we're so used to hearing about using these things to help us fulfill our potential. But these approaches are outdated and ineffective, and they are based on a big lie.
To find out more and get your free physical copy of Dr. John Finn's best-selling book, The Habit Mechanic, go to tougherminds.co.uk.
Hello, Habit Mechanics. It's Dr. John Finn here. I hope you're having a fantastic week so far. Welcome to a shorter episode of the Habit Mechanic podcast. Remember, you can listen to live episodes of the Habit Mechanic podcast inside the Habit Mechanic University app, where you can ask us questions live and we will answer you during the live streamed podcast. Inside the app, you can also access your Habit Mechanic toolkit. You can also watch our live masterclasses and join our live Change Challenge coaching sessions. You can download the app for free.
We're going to follow in some ways the structure of the chapter on motivation in the Habit Mechanic book. And at the end of the chapter, you provide another really amazingly useful guide for us to inform people's understanding of motivation, help them with their motivation, under the heading Firing Up Your Motivation, which is very appropriate, I think. And you say that obviously people may well have created a future, ambitious, meaningful story, a FAM story. They've got an outline of their future. They've got a long-term goal that's ambitious. You say to help them refine this more and develop it more as you go forward, you've got a list of reminders they can use. And I'd just like to go through them with you here now on the talk, point by point, and you can flesh those out for us, hopefully. The first one is make goals more meaningful by asking yourself why 5 times. Now, I know that is quite a longer exercise, but briefly, what is that and how does that work?
Yeah, well, if you had a title of a podcast, for example, that says 7 ways to fire up your motivation, that might be more meaningful than a podcast that says what is motivation. But it's trying to move towards the real reason why you want to do something. And a really quick way to get to the true meaning of something is just to ask yourself why 5 times. So, for example, you might say, well, I want to be more productive. I need to be more productive than I need to procrastinate less. I need to beat myself up less. Why? Well, I want to be, I want to have the best chance of doing a great job. Why? Well, I want to get the promotion this in the next 6 months. Why? Well, we want to buy a different house in a different part of town. Why? Because that's where the best schools are. Why is that important? I want to give my kids the best chance of going to the best school. So you can go further. Why is that important? Well, I don't want to look back in 10 years and regret not giving them the best chance. So all of a sudden, being efficient and effective with my time today is about being a great parent and not having any regrets in 10 years. That's much more powerful in terms of compelling the limbic regions of our brain to get on board and to get with today's program, and not just to slope off and check social media or the BBC website or whatever, or do the easy work and not difficult work, than just being productive for the sake of being productive.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's very clear and very poignant for many people, I'm sure. The second point on the list, and I know this is also a specific exercise within Habit Mechanic University and one you detail in the book too, is the second point is on a scale of 1 to 10, how well are you doing your best to be your best and achieve your weekly goals. And we talked about weekly goals being a component of long-term goals, and that's why that question's there, in essence, I guess.
Yes, it's going back to that intelligent self-watching, holding ourselves accountable for our own efforts. This is all we've got. All we've got is our energy and putting our best foot forwards. And a really simple way to do that is just assess yourself on the scale. I really, over the past, 20 plus years I've been doing this work, for me, the out of 10 is as powerful as anything in terms of a self-reflection. Where am I? It doesn't matter if I'm a bit delusional in either direction. I could be overly negative about my performance. I could be overly positive. We'll get more accurate the more we engage in these types of intelligent self-watching activities. But it's easy to let things slide. Doing intelligent self-watching for some things is really easy, like our weight. We just step on a weighing scale and it tells us there, in depending on what type of weighing scale you've got, but you get a clear visual. For our progress on other things, it's a bit harder to measure. So we've got to make it easier. So yeah, we start every day with the T plan. How well did I do my best to be at my best and achieve my goals? We can use the same thinking at the end of the week. It takes a few seconds and it saves us hours.
Yeah, fantastic. Point three on the list, remind yourself it's possible to make changes and I suppose by implication improve because you're a combination of nature plus nurture. No one's born to fail or born to succeed.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was speaking to a very well-intended coach the other day, a traditional coach who's done the sort of traditional coach training. For me, their job is to help people to do better. That's what they say their job is as well. So their job is to change their behavior. And they were quite dismissive about learning science and it's a bit too sciencey. Why do we need to know that? Well, because your job is to help people to learn how to automate different behaviours. It's not to coach people, it's to change their habits. And if you're going to help someone to change their habits, you need to understand how learning happens. So this really worries me. I see this time and time again. Coaching isn't having a nice conversation with someone who then says, well, you're a nice person and it's good to work with you, etc. It's about helping people to change their behavior. The way that we are traditionally, or coaches are taught to do that, is that they're not taught to change people's behavior. They're taught to have a nice conversation with people. So this is why recognizing that making a change is a combination of nature plus nurture, because we might feel like we've tried and we can't do it. But the science is clear. You can make change. You are absolutely capable of doing it. It's just that if you're not able to do it right now, you haven't found the right formula yet. So just knowing that, and this is what Carol Dweck talks about as a growth mindset, That's a motivational theory, is that if you believe you can change, you've got a much better chance of doing it. We talk about the habit mechanic mindset, which is kind of a step beyond that. It's about if you understand how your brain works and how you learn, you've got a much better chance of being able to do it. So just reminding yourself that it is possible to change because you're not set in stone. It's a combination of nature plus nurture. That is a new understanding. We didn't used to understand that. For most people that are listening, when they were at school, they were taught that when they physically stopped growing, their ability to change in any meaningful way stopped. They were also taught that they were just naturally good at some things, but not other things. In chapter 5 of The Habit Mechanic, I really go deep in talking about learning, how it happens, nature plus nurture, give some really clear, tangible examples, break down the 10 intelligence factors
the factors that allow us to learn or not. So we can learn, and it's just important to remind ourselves of that.
Yeah, I think of all the content in this chapter in the Habit Mechanic book, I have to say that the fact that science highlights human ability to learn and change, that I find that one of the most motivational things. That's just a personal insight, and yeah, it's so vital and so valuable. The next one on the list, number four, update your fam story. And you say every 4 to 8 weeks here. Now, we'll presume that people have set a future ambitious, meaningful story, and they need to update it at those regular intervals.
Yeah. So if you go actually into chapter 36 of the book, it gives an overview of all the tools that we introduce. And it breaks them into daily, weekly, monthly, /bi-monthly/quarterly tools. So in the first instance, I would definitely be updating the FAMS form, or in the app, your long-term and monthly goals every 4 weeks. And then maybe you might want to move to every 8 weeks. And then possibly you could go to every quarter if you wanted to. But, I mean, I just, back at the start of the month, I just spent 10 minutes reviewing. Straight, 10 minutes moved my motivation levels from maybe 4 up to a 9 just in 10 minutes. It's so, so powerful. And things change. The fam story, it's not stone, it's malleable. You can re-sculpt, remold. Things change in your life, and it's important to update and remind yourself. And also, by revisiting the fam story, you see the progress you've made, which our brain doesn't pay all that much attention to. It tells us about the progress we haven't made. So by revisiting the fam story, we get to notice the progress that we've made. But that's why we have daily, weekly, monthly tools, because if you do a focus reflection at the end of the day, like a 3-to-1 type of activity is a minimal, again, which you can do in the app, you also notice the progress you're making. So it's important to plug all these tools together.
Yeah. And the next one, John, number 5, related to this, I think you ask people, can they connect their short-term goals and habits, i.e. today in the present, to their future goals?
Yeah. So it's just reconnecting if we're feeling like our motivation is a bit low, reconnecting why, what you need to do today to achieve what you want to achieve in the future, those big exciting things. Otherwise, Hugh just comes and dominates our horribly unhelpful emotions. And again, you can, in the next Habit Mechanic talk that we do, we'll talk about habits in more detail and some of our habit metric tools, but you could use those metric tools just to quickly realign the short with the medium, with the long, just to realign them. And again, we're spending minutes to save hours by doing that.
Yeah, again, personally for me, when you're working towards a long-term accomplishment and thinking about it, using it in the present to keep you, well, going, essentially, in common parlance, again, I found that very, very useful for motivation. So that's just another personal insight from myself. Two more on the list then, the firing up your motivation list. Number 6 is to write a fail story, what you call a fail story. In other words, what you don't want your future to look like. So we've written a future ambitious, meaningful story. We've set a grand target. And now it's important to write out what we don't want to happen.
Yeah, or we can flip that round. The reason we created, I think, the fail story was because people say, well, I don't really know what I want to achieve. So what don't you want to achieve? And often people are much clearer about that. Well, that's the starting point then. This is what I don't want to achieve. So what does it mean you want to achieve? It's not that you don't know what you want to have in the future and do. It's just that you haven't really thought about it too much. And he says, yeah, I can't be bothered doing that. What it is interested in is saying, what don't you want to have? That's much more interesting for you, because that's a threat and it's a problem and it's a worry. So we can use that as a foundation, if you like, to start build the what we do want to have So writing a fail story is really powerful. I've never met anyone who doesn't know what they've done, want their future to look like. I don't want to be unhealthy. I don't want to be unhappy. I don't want this to happen. I don't want that to happen. Yes, a really, really powerful exercise. Again, you can do that really quickly. And you're spending minutes to save hours.
Yeah, and I know as we move to the final point on the list, which is about the fail story, to reflect on your fail story and use it as a mirror to help you develop and refine your FAM story. I think you've just explained that really nicely for us. So thanks for that, John. But I know previously you've worked in education, and as you say, Andrew Foster, your colleague, continues to do so. And I think a useful example that I've heard you cite before is young people, perhaps, and you mentioned it in Andrew's case, but it's worth stressing how young people at the very start of their lives are doing it. I think young people have said, well, I might want to be a dentist or something that requires a specific academic direction. And then they've changed, but still they've benefited by applying themselves to academic study, to rigor, learning how to study things successfully. So they've pivoted, if you like, away from what was a very definite goal, but the journey, the work they did towards that has benefited them.
Yeah, because every hour we invest in ourselves, we get back. It's not a lost hour. We never lose an hour, is a saying. You don't lose an hour. The hour you put into yourself, you get back in some way. So if I invested that into my physics GCSE because I thought I wanted to do a medical degree, then even if I decide I don't want to do a medical degree, I'm still going to benefit from putting the effort into the physics, even if it's not the physics knowledge, just me learning how to put my best foot forwards and, you know, create great habits around study. That's going to be beneficial. So yeah, this is all about developing your habit mechanic intelligence, and whichever field, if you want to be healthy and happy in the distant future, there is a lot of commonality. There's far more commonality between the people that are healthy and happy than, you know, differences. They've all got a set of helpful habits around how they eat, how they exercise, how they sleep, how they're able to strike a balance between hedonistic experiences and eudaimonic experiences, you know, how they're able to delay short-term gratification and persist through difficulties and reframe and all this kind of stuff, all the stuff you learn when you become a habit mechanic.
If you want to fulfill your potential or help other people fulfill their potential so you can feel great and get the rewards and respect you deserve, then I want to give you a free physical copy of my new best-selling book, because you deserve to know the truth. The most important things for fulfilling your potential are not tips, tricks, hacks, therapy, coaching, meditation, breathwork, goal setting, journaling, or finding your why. I know it sounds irrational because we're so used to hearing about using these things to help us fulfill our potential. But these approaches are outdated and ineffective, and they are based on a big lie.
To find out more and get your free physical copy of Dr. John Finn's best-selling book, The Habit Mechanic, go to tougherminds.co.uk.